ஜனவல்லபம் கிரிவரத்தாரி. யசோதானந்தன வ்ரஜ ஜனரஞ்சன யசோதானந்தன வ்ரஜ ஜனரஞ்சன ஜமுனாதிவனச்சாரி ஜமுனாதிரவனச்சாரி ஜயோராதமாதவ குஞ்சபிஹாரி ஜயோராதமாதவ குஞ்சபிஹாரி ஹரி கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரி 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 ராம 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 ஹரி ஹரி கோபிநாத ராதா கோபிநாத ஸ்ரீராதி பிரபுபாத் 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 ஜயோ பிரபுபாத் ஜய குருதேவ் 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 ஜய குருதேவ் நிதாய் கௌர ஹரிபோ 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 கௌர ஹரிபோ ஹாய் கோர் ஹரிபோ 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 கோர ஹரிபோ ஜய் ஸ்ரீ ஹரி நாம சங்கீர்த்தன கீ ஜய் கிரந்தராஜ் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் கீ ஜய். ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்யம் நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதிம் வ்யாஸம் தத்தோ ஜயமுதீரயே నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీరుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తి భవతి నైష్టికీ కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. హరే కృష్ణ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 2 chapter 2. The chapter is entitled Lord in the Heart, text number 20 and 21. Nabhyam sthitam ridi adiropya tasmat udanagat ్యోర్సితం నేయం ముని తోను సంధ్యాధియా మనస్వీ తోను సంధ్యాయ ధియా మనస్వీ స్వతాలుమూలం శనకే నయేత నాభ్యాం స్థితం రిద్ధి అధిరోప్య తస్మాత్ ఉదానగత్యోరసితం నయేన్మునిః తతోనుసంధాయ ధియా మనస్వీ స్వతాలుమూలం శనకైర్నయేత నాభ్యాం స్థితం రిద్యతిరోప్య తస్మాత్ ఉదానగత్యోరసితం నయేన్మునిః తతోను సంధాయ ధియా మనస్వీ స్వతాలుమూలం శనకేర్నయేత. Yeah. Mataji's. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the meditative devotee should slowly push up the life air from the navel to the heart, and from there to the chest, and from there to the root of the palate. He should search out the proper places with intelligence. Purport: there are six circles of the movement of life air, and the intelligent bhakti yogi should reach out these places with intelligence in a meditative mood. Among these mentioned above is the Swadhisthan Chakra, or the powerhouse of the life air, and above this, just below the abdomen and navel, is Manipur Chakra. When upper space is further searched out in the heart, one reaches the Anahat Chakra, and further up, when the life air is placed at the root of the palate, one reaches the Vishuddha Chakra. We'll also read out text number 21. Tasmad Bhruvor Antaram Unnayeta Niruddha Saptyaya Yatano anupekshah stitva muhurtardham akunta drishtir nirbidya murdhan visrijit param gatah. Thereafter, the bhakti yogi should push the life air up between the eyebrows, and then, blocking the seven outlets of the life air, he should maintain his aim for going back home, back to Godhead. If he is completely free from all the desires for material enjoyment, he should then reach the cerebral hole and give up this material connections, having gone to the Supreme. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanya Mishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Nabhyam stitam ridi adhiropya tasmad udanu gatyo rasitam nayen muni tatonu sandhaya dhya manasvi swatalu mulam shanakir nayeta. The meditative devotee should slowly push up the life air from the navel to the heart, and from there to the chest, and from there to the root of the palate. He should search out the proper places with intelligence. Hare Krishna. Welcome all the devotees for our morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. seek the blessings of all the devotees so that I can speak something wonderful for the pleasure of their lordships. Today happens to be Vaman Dwadashi and also Ekadashi. So I would like to take this opportunity to speak something about the glories of Lord Vaman Dev and Bali Maharaj on this auspicious day. And look at some of the wonderful lessons that we can learn from this pastime, from the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. These lessons may be very simple, but very profound truths and principles, which we will see in the canto 8. Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about 18,000 verses. But of the 18,000 verses, there is one verse which is the central focus verse. And this one verse is called Paribhasa Sutra, where all other verses, or practically the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, revolves around this one verse. And this verse comes in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Cham Sakala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Loke Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is none other than Lord Sri Krishna. And what is the purpose, what is the reason behind Lord Krishna's advent or appearance in this world is Indrari Vyakulam Loke Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. Indra Ari, when the enemies of Indra create a lot of disturbance, not only for Indra, not only for demigods, but for the people of this world, then Lord Krishna is bound, Lord Krishna is obliged, Lord Krishna, out of his compassion, actually descends into this material world. So this is the recurrent theme in the Bhagavatam, where Krishna appears in different incarnations, and the incarnation that we are about to discuss today, Vaman Dev appearance, is for the reason that Indra was very much disturbed. Indra was defeated by Bali Maharaj. So this is one of the pastimes where Lord appeared to protect Indra and other demigods from his enemy Bali Maharaj. And interestingly, Lord Vaman Dev, Lord Krishna, actually appears as the younger brother of Indradev, Upendra. Upendra means one who is the younger brother of Indra. So Vaman Dev is called Upendra, and it is very interesting that, or imagine Indra receiving that privilege of having Lord Krishna as his younger brother just to protect him. So demigods may not be pure devotees, but still they are so significant and important that Lord descends just for them. Many a times when we hear Indradev or say Brahmaji making some mistakes, Bhagavatam clearly reveals a lot of mistakes committed by Indra in practically different cantos. But although Indradev commits so many mistakes, Lord Sri Krishna still appears to protect his position and protect his name and fame. So, a very important lesson that we can learn, I have jotted down 14 lessons from this pastime. Let's see how many we can discuss and cover up. So, one very important lesson that we can learn today is, the first lesson is, that although scriptures, they speak about the mistakes committed even by the demigods, we shouldn't belittle or minimize their position. Because the very fact that Indrari Vyakulam Loke Mridayanti Yuge Yuge, that Supreme Lord appears, no, to protect these great personalities. So in the eyes of Krishna, they are very important. They are still very significant. So we shouldn't belittle them by thinking that they are ordinary or less significant, but understand this fact that Lord wants us to learn some very important lessons from their mistake. And if they do commit the mistake that they fail to understand Krishna, when Krishna appears in this world. And importantly, we should understand that if they are vulnerable to commit mistake and blunders, then what to speak of you and me? We can also. So if they end up misunderstanding Krishna, then what to speak of an ordinary living entity who practically has no scope to fathom, comprehend the genius and the glories of the Supreme Lord with a tiny, insignificant intelligence. So, when someone commits mistake, someone who is close to us, someone who is near to us, when they commit mistake, then we generally have three ways of looking at that mistake. That could be many ways, but three prominent ways of looking at that mistake. The first is, the first and foremost is, we minimize their position. That means, no, we carry that notion that this person is also like, no, others. And we carry that block forever, that this person cannot improve. But we have to understand this fact that when personalities like Indra also commits mistakes or blunders, Krishna still gives them second chance. So this is the first way of looking. The conditioned soul sees that, no, that this person will never improve. But we see Krishna giving that person also a second chance to improve. Or the second way is, when we see someone committing mistake, we get upset, no, ourselves. Thinking that how can this person do like this? Something very exalted is expected from him or her, but if this person also commits mistake, that means he or she is ordinary. They probably do not deserve that respect. Or the third way is, if that person also commits mistake, then what's wrong if I also do something wrong? We think I also have the license to do something wrong. So this is the typical tendency of looking at someone committing mistake. But Bhagavatam, no, gives us a vision by which we can actually improve our view of looking at someone committing mistake. So Bhagavatam gives five different views by which, no, how we should look at someone committing mistake. So the first viewpoint that Bhagavatam teaches us is, there is no one in this world who is free from mistake. There is no one in this world who is free from committing mistake. Everyone is prone to make errors. Sache rishto ki sundarta ek dusro ki galtiyon ko maaf karne mein aur bardasht karne mein hai. Kyunki bina galtiyon ka insaan yadi dhoondne jayenge to hum akele reh jayenge. We will not find anyone in this world, no, who is
free from this tendency to commit mistake. Second, Bhagavatam teaches us, what is it in for me to learn when someone commits mistake? Because there is always a chance for us to learn from any mistake. Mistake is never a mistake if we learn from that mistake. And we learn mainly from mistakes. Remember, we learn mainly from mistakes or failure, but we never learn from success. So if we have to learn something in life, then mistake actually helps us learn better than learning from success. Third, we fail to remember that I am not an exception. I am also prone to mistake. This is very important. Many times when we see mistakes committed by others, we fail to remember, we fail to acknowledge this fact that I am equally prone to commit mistake. Mistakes do happen with me also. When our eyes can see so many objects in this world, but if one object enters into that same eye, even if a small particle enters into that same eye cannot see that small particle that's entered within. So our eyes can see everything in and around, but if a small particle enters into that eye, eye is unable to see. Similarly, we may be able to see so many mistakes committed by others, but unfortunately, we fail to recognize and acknowledge this fact that I am also prone to commit mistake. The fourth viewpoint from Bhagavatam: love will always overlook the mistake, and hate will only look for mistake where there is none. Mother of, even the biggest of the terrorists will never find a mistake in that terrorist. While the whole world can see, what a terror this person is creating, but for a mother, she will always see good. Like we will see in this pastime of Vamandev, Aditi, she approaches Kashyap Muni, that please save my son Indra. She's always going to see good. So love is that factor which will always overlook the mistake, and hate or hatred towards someone will only look for mistake where there is no mistake at all. And the fifth viewpoint is, mistake never defines a person. We cannot define a person based on mistake. But willingness to admit the mistake and correct one's mistake is what truly defines a person. So we shouldn't judge someone just because that person commits mistakes. And this is what happens in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna has killed so many demons. Raghunath Das Goswami explains in Govardhan Dashakam, while glorifying Govardhan, that although Indra committed the biggest blunder of his life by not only attacking Krishna, but attacking the entire Braj. The Brajvasis were under severe threat. Krishna killed so many demons, Agasur, Bakasur, and so on and so forth. But here in this pastime, Krishna still forgives Indradev. So the way Krishna deals with demons and the way Krishna deals with demigods is a different ball game. So many demons attacked Krishna, and here Indra not only attacked Krishna, but know Krishna's most dear devotees, and still we see that Krishna forgives Indradev. And there are three sets of devotees in this entire Govardhan Leela. If we see, one is Indra, who is also a devotee of Krishna. One are the Brajvasis, who are innocent, very close to Krishna. And the third is Giriraj, who is also a devotee of Krishna. So Krishna offers, you know, three different things to his three different types of devotees. The first is, to the Brajvasis, Krishna offers protection. To Sri Giriraj, Krishna offers reciprocation. Krishna offers ecstasy. And to Indradev, Krishna offers correction. So to someone, Krishna offers protection. To someone, reciprocation. And to someone, correction. But still Krishna doesn't heavily give punishment to Indradev. So if Krishna has such a magnanimous heart that Krishna can forgive and let go, what to speak of Krishna's devotees? They are equally willing to forgive and let go. And here we see in this pastime where when Krishna takes the role of a younger brother of Indra who keeps on committing blunders, but still Indrari Vyakulam Loke Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. This entire pastime begins. This entire pastime in the 8th canto, where Vamandev is glorified, this entire pastime begins where Indra has defeated and killed Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is dead. But all of a sudden, Bali Maharaj is revived and brought back to life by Shukracharya, who is the descendant of Bhrigu Muni. And because Shukracharya brought back Bali Maharaj's life, Bali Maharaj is obliged to serve and accept Shukracharya as his guru and serves Shukracharya with his heart. And Shukracharya is so pleased by the service of Bali Maharaj that Shukracharya is now encouraging Bali Maharaj to take revenge by defeating Indra. And Shukracharya tells Bali Maharaj to perform Vishwajit Yajna. And when Bali Maharaj performs Vishwajit Yajna, Bali Maharaj obtains lot of strength, opulence and beauty. And Bali Maharaj is now ready to again combat and challenge Indra in a fight. When Indra sees this, that all of a sudden Bali Maharaj is again revived. Bali Maharaj is again not only revived, but he's back in action. Indra is surprised that how is this possible? I was thinking that I have killed my enemy and I will have a peaceful life now. But all of a sudden, my enemy is charging me back with more vigor and more power. A lesson for a sadhaka is that many a times it's easy to kill demons, but it's very difficult to kill the demonic tendencies within. Sometimes it seems that we have defeated, just as Indra thought that he has defeated his enemy. Similarly, many a times we think that we have defeated our inner enemies in the form of anarthas. But little do we know that these anarthas can never be killed. And just as Bali was brought back to life, to the surprise of Indradev, these anarthas, they come back to life again and again. And they attack us with far more vigor and strength and power. So never underestimate the power of this greatest enemy that's there within. And that is mind. Indra thought that he has killed his enemy, but he underestimated the power of Bali Maharaj. Similarly, many a times, as sadhakas, we end up underestimating the power of our mind. Because this mind can play worst of the tricks and make us fully convinced that we don't need anyone's help and I am now competent to face my any form of enemies. But you know, the best part is in this pastime is Indra actually understood that he's helpless. And Indra, he approached his guru for guidance and help. That was never the case when Indra actually attacked Vrindavan. Indra did not get his share. Indra Puja was stopped. That time also he thought that his position is under threat. That time he did not approach his guru. But here we see Indra got little intelligence and Indra is approaching his guru for help and guidance. Similarly, a sadhaka is one who will sometimes take shelter of guru and sometimes get so much bewildered that he fails to take the shelter of the instructions of one's guru. So here the best part is that Indra approaches his guru Brihaspati. So Indra understood his vulnerability. A sadhaka when understands his or her vulnerability and goes back to the instructions of guru, then sadhaka will revive back all the enthusiasm to fight back against one's internal enemy. So guru's instructions actually can truly protect a sadhaka. One disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, "Please save me from Maya." Prabhupada said, "I cannot save you from Maya, but I can give you the instructions by which you can save yourself from Maya." So now Brihaspati, when Indra approaches Brihaspati, what is the reason all of a sudden that my enemy is ready to attack and combat? At that point of time, Brihaspati tells Indra the reason for Bali Maharaj's prosperity. Janami Magavan Shatro Unnatir Asya Karanam Shishya Upabhritam Tejo Bhrigubhir Brahmavadibihi. So, Bali Maharaj, the reason for Bali Maharaj's prosperity is revealed here. The only reason that is explained by Brihaspati to Indra for Bali Maharaj's prosperity is Bali Maharaj pleased his priest, Kul Guru, Shukracharya. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, a wonderful lesson for us. Prabhupada writes, the pleasure of the spiritual master. By pleasing spiritual master, one can get extraordinary powers, especially in spiritual advancement. And then Prabhupada makes brilliant statement. Prabhupada says, blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for advancement. And then Prabhupada quotes, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Koriya Akya Arana Kori Humune Asha. So, step by step, what is the secret of empowerment is step by step explained here in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. So first and foremost, secret of empowerment is humility, where Bali Maharaj humbly served his guru. Humility, only when we have humility, then we will not only serve but humbly follow the instruction given by spiritual master. And when we follow the instructions given by guru, then automatically guru will be pleased. And when guru is pleased, we receive the blessings from the heart of Sri Guru. And that blessing acts as kavach or a shield in protecting our spiritual life. And that's how we advance in spiritual life. So humility, Humility leads to following the instructions of Guru. That leads to Guru being pleased, and we receive the blessings of Guru, and the blessings acts as kavach or shield. When we get cold, and because of cold, all our sinuses are blocked with infection. That's the time when doctor gives some drops. Our nose gets blocked, our ear gets blocked, our sinuses gets blocked, and doctor gives us some drops. And that's when the infection subsides and the nasal passage opens up. The drop in Hindi is called bindu. Similarly, when our heart is blocked by our false ego, the receptivity to receive the instructions of Guru is blocked by our false ego. No, we need that bindu which is called as kripa bindu. Gurudev kripa bindu diya koro eidase. And only by the blessings and that drop of mercy of Sri Guru, our heart is cleansed of the anarthas. And that's the time we can actually appreciate the mercy of Sri Guru. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada was cooking for Srila Prabhupada while Prabhupada was traveling. Prabhupada was about to travel, so she was cooking and cooking meal for Prabhupada, and she was pecking Prabhupada's prasadam. All of a sudden, Prabhupada came to the kitchen, and Prabhupada saw that this disciple is cooking samosas. So Prabhupada picked up one samosa and ate that samosa. Then Prabhupada picked up the second samosa and Prabhupada ate that also. Third, fourth. So this disciple, she felt very gladdened that Prabhupada is eating samosas cooked by me. Maybe Prabhupada liked my samosas. So she asked Prabhupada, "How many samosas will you eat, Swamiji?" Prabhupada said, "More than what you can cook." And then she thought that even before I packed this meal for Prabhupada, Prabhupada liked this samosa so much that Prabhupada ate all. So she asked this question to Prabhupada, "Swamiji, can you tell me who is your favorite cook?" Prabhupada said, "Me, myself." So sometimes we may think that our false ego may make us think that, I am probably the one who is doing some service to Sri Guru. But it was the duty of Sri Guru to remove that blockage in the form of false ego. Dr. Patel recalls that he would go on morning walk with Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada was in Bombay at Juhu. And Prabhupada would most of the time, or practically all the time, Prabhupada would refute his argument and defeat him, and Prabhupada would call him fool number one. So one day he told Prabhupada, "Swamiji, I call you Guruji. I have so much respect for you, and it is you who every time call me fool. I can't digest this." So then Prabhupada said, "Because you call me Guruji, it is my duty to correct you and call you fool if you are wrong. Because what you speak doesn't make sense at all." So this was Prabhupada's compassion, where Prabhupada took this upon himself to chastise, correct, and humble his disciples. So one time, Dr. Patel, he had donated a lot of mattresses and pillows to the devotees who were staying there. But over a period of time, he noticed that these pillows and these mattresses disappeared. They were not seen only. So he went and complained to Swamiji, "What type of disciples you have? They can't even take care of the pillows that I had donated." So Prabhupada said that actually my disciples are completely detached. They are completely detached from their body, and so they are liberated. And then Prabhupada said, you always speak about liberation, mukti, mukti. But just see how much attached you are and just see how much detached my disciples are. So he was completely speechless. Like this, Prabhupada would many a times refute and speak in such a way where he was completely defeated. And when Srila Prabhupada departed from this world, Satsvarup Das Goswami Maharaj approached Mr. Patel, Dr. Patel, and told him to write an article. Dr. Patel, he took this opportunity to glorify Srila Prabhupada. And he wrote an article, My Life's Most Precious Moments. That was the article. And subtitle that he wrote was, Bombay Doctor Earns a Title, Big Fool. And he loves it. So this was the love that Prabhupada offered to Dr. Patel, and how Dr. Patel actually understood that actually it was the great kindness and mercy of Srila Prabhupada that came in my life. So the secret of empowerment is when one pleases one Guru. And we can see from the scriptures also that when Lord Krishna went to Avanti and pleased his Guru Sandipani Muni, that's the time when Sandipani Muni blessed Krishna and Balramji that whatever you have learned, you will not only remember in this life, but eternally. So having knowledge is one thing, but knowledge when backed up by blessings will make more impact. Simply having knowledge can also create a lot of chaos in someone's life. One time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was going on a boat. He was crossing Ganges, and at that point of time one of the disciples asked this question to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that your spiritual master Gaur Keshodas Babaji Maharaj, he was a Bhajanandi, but I see that you are Gostyanandi, where you are not interested more in bhajan, but you are more interested in preaching. So how is it that you should be actually following your guru? No, he just simply sat at one place and chanted. But we see that you are traveling, so you are preaching more than your guru. So it seems that you are more powerful than your guru. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, while he was on the boat, he replied, looking at the engine which was making a lot of noise. He said that, can you look at this engine? This engine is making a lot of sound, but this engine is getting all the strength from an apparent small battery. The engine is deriving all the strength from the battery, and battery seems to be lying at one place. Just stagnant. But all the power is coming from the battery. Similarly, it may appear that my spiritual master was just sitting at one place and chanting, but all the power comes from him. As a result, I am able to preach in some small way. So this is a very, very important lesson. The next lesson that we can learn is that when Bali Maharaj received the blessings from Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj, although he was dead, although he was defeated by Indra again and again, still Bali Maharaj received so much inspiration and strength that now Bali Maharaj was ready to again combat and challenge his strongest of the enemy. Similarly, by the inspiration of Sri Guru, by inspiration of Sri Guru's Vani and Vapu, a disciple who is defeated again and again by Maya, even that disciple gets the strength and the courage to get up again and fight and challenge Maya. So although we are defeated by Maya again and again. But words of Guru gives us the strength to get up again and fight. Just as we see in Ramayana, Sugriva was defeated and heavily bitten by Vali again and again. But Sugriv still gets the guts and the courage to get up and challenge Vali. Now, what was the possibility that Sugriv again will get, he will win over Vali? There was no possibility. But we see that Sugriv got the strength and courage to get up and fight back because not of his own strength, but because he was backed up by the support of Lord Sri Ramchandra. Similarly, it is by the support and the inspiration of the words of Guru that a disciple actually can, you know, even challenge the unchallengeable. Kathanchana smrite yasmin dushkaram sukaram bhavet vismrite viparitam syat Sri Chaitanyam namamitam. By the blessings of Guru and Krishna, even the most difficult thing becomes easy. But if we do not have the grace and the blessings of Krishna and Guru in our life, the simplest will become most difficult. So this is the next lesson that we learn from this pastime, is that Brihaspati tells Indra that when Bali will offend or disrespect his guru, that's the time. See, you cannot defeat Bali Maharaj, but only when Bali will make the mistake of disrespecting his guru, that's the time he will lose all the powers. So the secret of advancement is yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado yasya aprasadat nagati kutopi. By pleasing one's guru, one gets all the strength and power and blessings, and by displeasing one's guru, one's powers will be taken away. Sudama and Krishna got all the blessings that they will remember. And on the contrary, we see Karna, because he displeased his guru, Parshuram, Karna's knowledge, all the strength and knowledge was taken away when he needed the most. Karna displeased Parashuram, and Krishna and Sudama, they pleased Sandipani Muni. They both had the knowledge. So it's not about knowledge, but the blessings and empowerment that comes along. So this is one important lesson. We also see in case of Madhvendrapuri, when Madhvendrapuri was about to depart from this world, Ishwarapuri served Madhvendrapuri so submissively. And here is one more disciple, Ramchandrapuri. He actually ended up disrespecting his guru, and as a result, he lost his power. So much power that we may gather for so many years will all be gone. And so many examples in this connection. But finally, moving ahead is Brihaspati tells Indradev that this is not the right time. All that I would suggest is you all should disappear from your place and hide yourselves somewhere. And all the demigods, they know, with the mystic powers, when Bali Maharaj attacks Indrapuri, all the demigods, they actually disappear from that place, and Bali Maharaj takes over. He conquers Indraloka and starts ruling. And the mother of Indradev, Aditi, approaches her husband Kashyap Muni and tells that please do something and save. And that's the time Kashyap Muni actually tells that no, Why are you so attached, no, to your body and anything in connection to your body? No, you should be above the bodily concept of life. But Aditi is not willing to listen. Aditi keeps requesting Kashyap that you are my guru, you are my spiritual master, you are not just my husband. So please help me, no, solve this problem. So then finally Kashyap Muni, he gives the way, the solution by which she will become Krishna conscious also, and her solution, she will receive the solution also. So Kashyap Muni gives her this process of Payovrat sacrifice. No? And Aditi, she remembers Lord Vishnu, and this is the genius of a guru, where guru will give us, no, the way by which we become more Krishna conscious, rather than focusing on just solving the material issues. And guru will impart knowledge or instruction to one's disciple only as per the level of one's disciple. And as a result, finally, Aditi, no, she pleased Lord Krishna and Vishnu tells that I will appear as a younger brother of Indra and protect Indra. So, Shronayam Shravana Dwadashyam Murute Abhijita Prabhu. It was on this day, Shravana Dwadashi, when Abhijit Nakshatra was there in the sky, that Vamanadev Upendra appeared and descended in this world. And it is explained that when Lord appeared in his original form, did not have to stay within the womb surrounded by blood or the amniotic fluid, but he is full of all opulence. And when Lord appeared in this world, he was already ornamented and decorated. Just as when Krishna appeared in this world, Krishna appeared in a Chaturbhuj Swarup. So Gaur Krishna Maharaj was explaining that Krishna is not like an ordinary person of this world who has to go through that same way, the way an ordinary child takes birth. On the contrary, when Krishna appeared, Krishna reminds Vasudev and Devaki about their previous lives. So Lord's Janma and Karma are transcendental right from the beginning. Similarly, here we see that Vamandev, he appeared in his original form with ornaments and weapons in his hands. And Bhagavatam explains that this same boy took a form of a very small Batu, or someone who is dwarf. No? Just like an actor dresses oneself. So when Vamandev was born, Brihaspati offered the sacred thread to Vamandev. Kashyap Muni offered the straw belt. Suryadev personally uttered the Gayatri Mantra within the ears of Vamandev. Soma, the demigod of moon, offered Brahma Danda. Aditi, the mother of Vamandev, gave her kopin, or the cloth to wear underneath. And the deity presiding over the heavenly kingdom offered him the umbrella. Lord Brahma offered the Kamandalu. The seven sages, the Saptarshis, offered Kushagras. Mother Saraswati gave him Rudraksha to be wore in his hand. And ultimately, Kuvera gave him the pot for begging alms. And Lord Shiva and Mother Bhagavati offered the first alms or charity to Vamanadev. So, and Vamanadev now proceeds towards Narmada River at Bhrigu Kachcha, where Bali Maharaj has been instructed by Shukracharya to perform Ashwamedha Yajna. And Vamanadev starts walking in that direction. Very interestingly, Bali Maharaj, when sees Vamanadev, just by the effulgence of Vamanadev, Bali Maharaj starts thinking as if maybe Suryadev has appeared right now here, to grace this occasion. And Shukdev Goswami mentions a very interesting point. Jagama tatra khilasara sambrito bhare nagam sanna mayam pade pade. When Vamanadev started walking towards Bhrugukacha, although Vamanadev is a small dwarf, appearing like a small boy having a tiny feet, but those tiny feet, when pressing Mother Earth, they were actually creating deep impressions. Bharena, by the weight. Bharena gam sannamayam pade pade. So, one more lesson that we can learn from this pastime is that do not judge anyone based on externals. Although Vamanadev appears to be small, but Shukdev Goswami makes it very clear. Because Vamanadev is going to go to Bali Maharaj and beg for charity, does that mean that Vamanadev is a beggar? No, Shukdev Goswami makes it very clear. Tatrakhila sara samrutha. Vamanadev is full of opulence. Vamanadev as God doesn't need to beg alms, but he goes to beg alms. Vamanadev takes a humble position for his devotee. This is the glory of the Supreme Lord. Lord can go to any extent to protect the name and fame of his devotee. So, I'll just conclude with this one lesson that we have picked up. So, Shukdev Goswami says that do not judge anyone based on externals. So, even Bhagavatam 10th Canto explains that when Lord Krishna saw that lady who came with fruits, the vendor who came to sell the fruits, and she's calling out, please take these fruits, please take these fruits. At that point of time, Shukdev Goswami addresses Lord Krishna as Achyuta. Achyuta means infallible. But we see in that pastime, whatever Krishna is carrying within his hand, those grains are falling away. So, Shukdev Goswami makes it very clear that do not judge this small boy as ordinary. No, he is Achyuta. Nothing can fall, or nothing in the connection to Krishna can fall. And not only that, Shukdev Goswami says that Falarthi dhanyam adaya yayo sarva falaprada. Although Krishna is asking for fruits, Falarthi dhanyam adaya. Although Krishna, it may appear that Krishna is in need of fruits, but Shukdev Goswami says, Yayo sarva falaprada. Krishna is not in need of anything. He is the one who is falaprada. He is the one who actually offers the benedictions and the boons to everyone. So we should not judge anyone based on externals. Now, a pen drive may appear very small, but that pen drive can have information, or the books of all libraries in the entire world. So we just can't know what's there within. Just as we see that when Vamanadev was walking, the heaviness was actually shaking and trembling the entire earth. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada looked very small, appeared very small in stature, but Prabhupada practically conquered the entire world by traveling 14 times. One time, Brahmanand Prabhu was telling Prabhupada, you tricked us. Just as we see, Vamanadev will trick Bali Maharaj. No, Brahmanand Swami tells Prabhupada, Swamiji, you tricked us. When you came to New York, you were just chanting Hare Krishna and speaking on Bhagavad Gita. And we all slowly came thinking, probably we will also chant Hare Krishna. And we started hearing you. But slowly, slowly you took away everything from us. You took our lives, you took all our money, and we left our families. Prabhupada said, there is a Bengali proverb, enter like a needle and come out like a plow. And Prabhupada said, if I would have said in the beginning that, no, I am like a plow, no, if I would have told Americans the reason why I have come here, they would have killed me. So Prabhupada said that actually it was all like a needle in the beginning. ISKCON's beginning was like a needle. No? Prabhupada entered into US like a needle, but he came out, no, emerged victorious, no, building more than 108 temples. So this is how Bali Maharaj also, Chalayasi Vikramane Adbhutavaman. This is what Jayadeva Goswami, Keshavadrita Vamanas Rupa Jaya Jagadishahare. So many other pastimes to discuss, but finally when Bali Maharaj offered everything to Vamanadev, Bali Maharaj received more than what he gave to the Supreme Lord. So in giving Lord Krishna, we are never the losers. In fact, we will gain more than what we can offer. With this, I'll just conclude. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.